And welcome to Food Integrity Now, advocating integrity in our global food supply. I'm Matt Spaeth, one of your hosts, and joining me today in the studio are our co-hosts, Susan Wright and Carol Gervais.
Hi, Matt. Great to be here.
Hi.
Welcome, ladies. So we have a great show planned today. We have Yul Culbertson of Pachamama Organic Farm. He is a farmer for 20 years, been producing some of the top produce in Boulder Valley. They have a CSA as well as a frequent appearance at the Boulder Farmers Market. And he's coming here to talk to us today about the state of organic food, what are the differences in the different produce you can find in the market, the importance of nutrient density, and let's see, MT, do we have you on the line? Yul, yes. Welcome to the show.
Yes, you do. I'm right here.
Great.
Hi, Yul.
We've had Yul on before, and first time, some technical glitches in the show, so we are very glad to have him back so that he can really tell us about everything, all the really interesting things that he has going on at Pachamama Farm, and what he thinks is the future of food in this country. So Yul, why don't you tell us a little bit about the history of your farm and how you came to be a farmer?
Sure, Matt. We were living in Boulder County in the city of Boulder. My wife Lauren and my son, who is just a few years old, so this is about 20 something years ago, and I was working as a manufacturer's rep, selling outdoor sports equipment to stores all over the Rocky Mountain areas, and was traveling a lot. Had been doing that for about 8 or 9 years, and by all conventional, I think, standards, I was successful at it and whatnot. But deep down, I had this feeling like I was here for something else, that there was another type of work that I could be doing, and selling sporting goods. And so through a process of a lot of inner reflection and meditation and just asking for assistance, I came upon gardening in the backyard, and I read a book called How to Grow More Vegetables Than You Thought Possible and Less Land Than You Can Imagine, or something like that, by a guy named John Jevons. And I double dug our garden up and planted vegetables, and I was just so excited about it. And then I started reading books about small scale farming, and through it all, through about a year or two, I just got this real clear knowingness in my heart that I would be just so happy as an organic vegetable grower, and that it would be a great thing for my family too. So we, over the course of about 5 or 6 years, we found this place that we're at now in North Boulder County, which is 40 acres, and we started we jumped in and started farming here, and I did some training before that and read a lot of books. So our farm is 12 acres of certified organic produce. And like you said, we sell it through a community-supported agriculture program with 130 families that prepay at the beginning of the season, get a box of vegetables every week. And we also sell at the Longmont and Boulder Farmers Markets on Wednesday and Saturday. And
how many 12 acres? That's a good size, but not too big. How many? Do you have any idea of what your yield is in a season?
You mean like, yeah, explain it a little better.
Yeah, like how many? Say how much food can 12 acres provide for people?
Oh, like in terms of thousands of pounds.
Yeah, like how many people can 12 acres feed?
I don't know. I've always thought that you could have about 25 to 30 CSA memberships per acre. Hmm. And so if you figure there's usually around two or three per that, so that sounds like 75. You know, it's maybe somewhere between 75 and 100 people per acre. With just vegetables, and you know, just their vegetables over the course of a of a summer. So I imagine, you know, we probably feed, I don't know, maybe 1,000 or 1,500 people if you just broke it down like that, their vegetables over the summer. Of course, a lot of people just, you know, might just buy produce from us one time at the farmer's market. So it's a little bit difficult to figure that out.
Yes. Understandable. Yeah, that must feel good to be able to provide such a nourishment to a large number of people. But before we go on, just for people that I have a question from Kelly CR on Ustream wondering what really is organic food. And I guess some people don't really know that. They probably have an idea that it's supposed to be more healthy for them. But just, can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. In fact, it's interesting that you asked me that today, because this morning I had my annual inspection with the Colorado Department of Agriculture organic inspector, and he came out to the farm and went through the whole process of walking around the farm and going through about a half-inch stack of papers that I have to complete and hand over to him about what we're doing. And essentially what the standards are is they were developed by the USDA, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago. And in a nutshell, what it comes down to is it's a way to assure the consumers that there hasn't been any type of synthesized chemicals that have been used through the process of producing, in on my farm, the organic produce. And that would include the big three, which is your commercial fertilizers, your herbicides, which is your weed killer, and your pesticides, which would kills the bugs and would also include like a fungicide if you were spraying that for controlling diseases and whatnot. And so what an organic farm like myself has to do is we have to produce all the records, like the receipts of everything that we're buying and that we're using on the farm. We have to document every time that we go out and use it. And so, you know, that's what that's all about. There's other parts of the standards, too, that has to do with just farming sustainably and doing things such as crop rotation and things that are just, you know, time, you know, age-old smart farming practices. And so that's part of it as well. So in a nutshell, I think it's just the best way for someone to feel reasonably confident that the food that they're eating is not being any chemicals used. Now, one of the side shoots that has kind of came out of the organic standards, which really wasn't part of the original conversation so much when the organic standards were first being passed in the 90s, but I think is just huge today, is the requirement that the food is not grown using any kind of GMO crops. So the seeds cannot be, genetically engineered, and the food cannot be genetically engineered. And to me, that's as big, if not even bigger, than the chemicals, knowing because this is really the only way, one of the only ways to know that the food that we're eating is not, GMO is by buying certified organic.
I'm sure that's really good to hear for a lot of people out there, because maybe a lot of people didn't know that they weren't certain when they buy U.S. organic certified food that it means that there's not any genetically modified seeds in there.
Right.
So, Yul, what is the state of the organics in this country?
Well, I think it's strong, and I think kind of addressing what you just said too, Carol, I often wonder now that, you know, I think that in some ways the organic standards were, in some ways I think that they were a mistake. I think that there are certain groups of individuals that look is the allowing the organic standards to actually happen is now, when they look back on it, as being a mistake. I think that the people who are really high up in our government and in these giant food companies, I think that at the time GMOs were not very big. They were more in the, you know, in the introductory stage at that time. And I think that they just thought that this organic thing would not really amount to very much. And so they didn't really fight it as hard as they would now, I think. And I think that to get to the question you just asked me about the state of the organic industry now, I think it's very strong, but I think that because it's strong, that we're under attack more and more, perhaps not directly in terms of the standards themselves, although that's happening too, because you do have, more and more exemptions being inserted into the standards that are allowing mainly these big companies that are making processed foods and whatnot, you know, to be able to add things into the food at a real small amounts, but that they say is necessary, that you can call something organic, you know, if it's 95% organic and that kind of thing. But there's another legislation that concerns me a lot these days.
Yul, we're going to take a break right now. I hate to interrupt you, but I want you to continue and get that whole thought in. So we will do that during our next break. You are listening to Food Integrity Now on Castle Rock Radio. We will be right back.
Hi, I'm Karen Cantrell. I'm an animal whisperer. I have the ability to connect with the energy of your animals. During our session, you will gain a valuable understanding of what the animal is experiencing and why, the ways that you can assist them, and also discover the information and support your animals desire to share with you to assist you on your own healing path. For more information, visit my website, healinganimalwhisperer.com. Or give me a call at 303-974-1978.
Hi, everyone. This is Carol again, and I just wanted to talk to you about one of our new sponsors, Hole in the Wall Herb and Vitamin Shop up in Woodland Park. The owners, Mark and Nancy Duvall, are not only close personal friends, but they're also my nutritional gurus. They are now selling, teaching, and doing Acira bioenergetic testing on their clients. I had this done, and I found out all my food allergies, emotional stressors, environmental sensitivities, hormonal balance, and I received a customized homeopathic remedy. Please call them for more information at 1-800-437-3240.
Are you a person who is seeking understanding in your life, emotions, relationships, and/or career? Many people are ready for a new level of understanding. Are you? Work with Tammy at Empowerment Through Healing to discover the answers that may be hidden. Tammy is a medium clairvoyant and a life energy low Tai practitioner. Tammy can offer guidance through her work as a medium clairvoyant, working with your spirit guides to offer understanding at current life issues. Find more information and to contact Tammy, go to www.empowermentthroughhealing.com or you may phone her at 719-641-2017.
You are listening to Food Integrity Now, and we are talking with Yul Culbertson from Pachamama Organic Farm. And when we left off, he was talking about the state of organics in this country. And Yul, would you continue with that, what you were talking about?
Yes. Sure, Susan. One thing that I see developing right now is what I call the safe food is dangerous campaign, which, in my opinion, from what I'm seeing in the trade journals and whatnot from my industry, is developing. There's been some legislation, introduced as of late. I know that Matt knows more specifics about the names of those legislations and whatnot than I do. But
yeah, it's S-510.
Yeah, and in essence, what they're saying is that it gives stronger authority to government officials to regulate certain parts of the food supply in the event of a food disease outbreak. And, you know, when we sit here and talk about it, it sounds ridiculous because we sit here and we go, well, okay, well, you know, there was some peanut butter a couple of years ago that was a problem or whatever. I mean, once in a while you hear about some salmonella. I think that came out of an egg producer lately. But, you know, I don't think hardly anybody really thinks of fresh produce as something that you're going to, you know, die from or get real sick from if it's fresh and all that. But it's as if they are anticipating this happening because of this legislation that they're trying to pass. And I think that what's going to happen is there will be, you know, something along the lines of some people getting sick, and someone somewhere will create sort of a panic out of it. And then you're going to find farms like myself that are growing organically grown nutrient-dense produce, that we're going to become, you know, the monsters that you got to be afraid of. And boy, you don't want to buy any produce from guys like that. And they might even, you know, come over here and, you know, put a chain on my gate or lock up my trucks or spray my fields with paraquat like they did the pot fields back in the 70s. Who knows what they'll do, but I just have this sense that that's some of the new reality that we're going to be moving into here in the not too far distant future. It's not attractive, but I think it's something that everybody needs to know about.
Isn't most of the bacterial contaminations, those don't normally grow on produce, do they? I know E. coli is something that's more associated with cattle. Is that how it gets contaminated?
Yeah, as near as I can tell, it comes from cattle. And whenever there's been an outbreak, again, as near as I can tell, it's been in a very large-scale operation where they've had irrigation water that's been downstream from a cattle, you know, a big feedlot or downwind or something like that. And so that's as near as I can tell, too.
Mm. Yeah. So that's really not even nipping the problem in the bud at the source. It's really just paving the way for more control.
Right. Yeah, and they have this Orwellian names for it. You know, if they call it the safe, I think they call it the safe food legislation. And, you know, again, it's the way you get something passed through the you know, sleeping public is to call it something like that, and people go, oh, safe food, that sounds great, they're really looking out for me, when you know, a lot of times it's something the complete opposite from that.
So aside from possibly them coming in and shutting down a smaller farm, an organic farm, if this passes, how else would that legislation make it difficult for organic or smaller farmers to operate?
Well, another piece of the puzzle that, as near as I can tell, and I don't claim to be an expert on this, but just from what I've read and what I just sense intuitively about this, is they've developed these guidelines that they call good agricultural practices. Again, you know, you hear that and they go, wow, that sounds great. Let's have them, good agricultural practices. But when you look at what they are, basically what they're trying to do is to sterilize everything. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, it goes along with what, you know, is going on with the, you know, with the inoculants that they're trying to give people vaccinations and everything else. You know, the idea that there's these invisible little microbes that we all have to be afraid of. And, you know, we breathe them, they're in the food, they're, you know, in people's hands, you know, and we all need to fill ourselves full of, you know, vaccinations. And so now what they're going to try to do is say that a farm producing food has to basically be run as a sterile environment. And I'm already seeing that in these trade magazines. There was one recently that I looked at where Dole Foods, they had the spokesperson on there and they wrote an article about it. And he was talking about how the people in their fields have to go in and out of a chlorine foot bath as they leave the field. And it showed them out in the field, and these people that were harvesting lettuce out in the hot sun in Arizona or something, They had hair nets on. They had face masks on. They had, rubber gloves on, which is actually, we do that on our farm, for rubber gloves. But it was, the message was is that we're sterilizing everything. And I'm sure that when they take it back to the processing facility where they wash the vegetables and bunch them or put them in bags, you know, all that's run like a hospital. You know, it's like super sterile. And they were saying how wonderful this was. And this is kind of the direct direction that these good agricultural practices are trying to encourage. And I think that what we're going to see is something to where to where they're going to either require the good agricultural practices or they'll make it optional. And then if you are not someone who participated in that program, then when these food scares happen, then you will be singled out as somebody that doesn't have safe food because you didn't practice the good agricultural practices. And we all know that if that happens, that the only companies that will be able to comply with these types of regulations will be the large companies that are able to, you know, create these super sterile environments and are spraying all these chemicals to basically kill everything in the field, all the bugs, all the microbes, kill all the little microbes, and then it's safe, which just isn't true.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a lot of smoke screens and manipulation and a lot of fear-based stuff out there that people are buying into.
Yeah, look at how far we've come already with all those microbes and way before we even had rubber gloves. We've been eating food for a long time, and people seemed a lot healthier back then than they do now.
Right.
Yeah, we have a few questions coming in on Ustream, and we'll try to get to a couple of them before the break coming up in a few minutes. Maybe you can touch on what are some of the organic methods for raising healthy food without disease or insects, without using chemicals?
And you want me to answer that in a minute?
Okay, we had 2 minutes.
It's a very similar question to asking someone, you know, how do you live a healthy life, right?
Yeah.
You could go for hours and hours and you know, take all kinds of workshops and you barely even touch on it. I would say that
we can continue your answer after the break. You can have this is a really interesting topic for a lot of people.
It is. You know, on our farm, one thing that we do is we do soil testing. And so every fall we take samples of the soil and we send it into a soil lab and we work with the soil consultant and it comes back and it tells us where the minerals are, the mineral levels in the soil. So again, it's very similar to getting a blood test done, right? And then we add different organically approved amendments, like say it's low in zinc or manganese or magnesium or phosphorus or potash or whatnot. Then we'll add those in an unadulterated form. So basically a raw form. It's usually, you know, ground up, but it won't be synthesized using acids like they do with chemical fertilizer. So that's part of it. And then I think the thing that we do that we think really helps a lot is addressing the microbial populations of the soil, which is interesting because we were just talking about how microbes are being touted as being these, you know, really dangerous things. But the fact is that in a really healthy biological system, the microbes are super, super important. And the fields are much more alive. The plants are able to, uptake the nutrients that they need only if the microbes are there, you know, microbes such as mycorrhiza and fungi and different bacteria and whatnot. Conversely, ironically enough, these same fields that we were talking about with the guys out there with the face mask on and the hair nets and whatnot, you go out there and those soils are almost devoid completely of microbe life. That's what we do.
We're going to take this break, and it's really fascinating what you're talking about with microbes. So we're going to get right back to that right after this message from our sponsors.
locally focused, nationally relevant, and globally heard. You're listening to CastleRockRadio.com.
Are you experiencing depression, anxiety, anger, or low self-esteem? Do you find yourself sabotaging what you really want to achieve? Jeannie Smith at Open Heart Healing can help you work through these issues to allow joy and quality back into your life. Jeannie has over 10 years of experience as a Gestalt therapist and Tai Chi practitioner, and her office is here in Castle Rock on South Perry Street. Jeannie works with adults, couples, and adolescents. Call for a free consultation at 303-660-6373. Again, that's 303-660-6373.
I'm Carol Gravet, and I'm one of the hosts of Food Integrity Now and a certified life coach. And I'd love to share an amazing adventure with you. Have you ever dreamed of swimming with the wild dolphins? I'm not talking about the ones in captivity at Dolphin Quest. I'm talking about swimming with them in the wild. I invite you to join me for a trip of a lifetime to swim with the dolphins. This all-inclusive trip is really a trip of a lifetime. To find out more, go to wilddolphinswimadventures.com or email Carol at carol@coachwithcarol.com.
Hi, folks. My name is Guy Harold, and my family has been in the surgical stainless steel cookware business for 63 years. I am a value dealer. I sell for less. The cookware is used by Gearson and Price Pottinger, people around the world. Why? Our steel is non-reactive, non-porous, and is correct for your cooking needs. The temperature gauge knob tells you when the texture of produce and minimizes plant cell breakage, saving up to 48.9% more nutritional food value. The cookware has a lifetime warranty. No aluminum, no coatings, no cast iron, no ceramic, and no glass. Nothing to break or wear out. And you can stack cook up to three tiers high, saving you energy as well as food value. Call the Cookware Guy at 760-505-7057 or visit our website at www.stainlesscookware4u.com. That's stainlesscookware4u.com.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking with Yul Culberson, and where we left off, he was telling us about the role of microbes in organic produce. Yul, take it away.
Yeah, microbes, one of my favorite topics. How do you add microbes to your soil? If you're a home gardener and you want to add microbes, what do you do? Well, the fundamental foundation of a organic operation is compost. I think most people that are in organic gardening know that. And compost is teeming with beneficial microbes, whether it's compost that we make in our backyards or it's compost that comes from manure, like dairy manure that comes through the rumen of a cow. There are also products that one can use where these microbes, of which there are thousands, probably millions, different microbes, the vast majority of which have never even been identified by science. We really don't know very much about what the microbes are, exactly what they do. We just know that healthy soil has healthy, balanced and microbe life in the soil, whether it's a forest or an organic garden or organic farm. And some of these products are they're basically manufactured or grown out in a controlled environment, similar to like you would do in a petri dish. These products are then dehydrated so that they're in a powdered form and they're stable. And then you mix them with water and you add them to your soil. Generally, you want to water them in, and you can inoculate your soils that way. We have different products that we use, but I think that if a person wants to learn more about microbial amendments and biological amendments, a really good place to start is there's a magazine that's been in business for a long time. It's called Acres USA, and they also have a website, Acres USA, I think either .com or .org. I'm sure you can find it. And they have a magazine that gets sent out every month. And I think it's just a fantastic magazine. Even if you're not even a home gardener, it's just a great magazine to get to learn about your health and the state of farming. It's, you know, I think it's $24 a year for 12 issues. And, you know, anyone who's interested in health, I think, would enjoy looking at Acres USA. And in that magazine, a lot of these soil consultants and different cutting edge companies that are making these organic fertilizers and biological inoculants and all kinds of other cutting edge, you know, biological farming techniques and products are either advertising or listed in that magazine month after month. And I think that's a great place to go find out about this really exciting phenomenon of biological farming.
Well, last time you were describing it almost like the human body, how the human body has to break down foods in order to assimilate the nutrients. And that's what the microbes do. And is that right? It breaks down some of the compounds in the soil so that the plants can assimilate.
That's true, Susan. And there's a very close analogy to what happens underneath the soil as to what happens in our gut. And, you know, we all know that we need to have a healthy gut, and we need to have healthy microbes in our gut. And if we've ever taken a strong dose of antibiotics, we all have probably experienced what it's like to, you know, go through that from a digestive standpoint. You know, all of a sudden we're not digesting our food very well. Maybe we get constipated or diarrhea or, you know, whatever. And so most people these days know, or a lot of people do, they know that they need to take a probiotic to re-inoculate their gut because of what the antibiotics do to the microbes in their gut. Well, in the soil, it's a very similar process. And again, when you have those microbes in your soil and you're in an organic situation where there are no chemicals, then those roots will go down into the soil and will interact with those minerals that are down there. And then they will be able to, using them, you know, in conjunction with the microbes, they're able to extract the minerals that they need, just like your stomach does, just like your intestines do. And then we'll be able to grow healthy. And really what chemical fertilizer does, and this is really important, is it bypasses the role of the microbes. And the scientists have come up with ways of taking the fertilizer, and such as phosphorus, for instance, and been able to acidify it, you know, mix it with acids and whatnot in a chemical reaction, so that when water hits it, then the phosphorus is just automatically released. And so it is there, the root is there, and the root just takes it up without the assistance of the microbes. But that's really, in my opinion, not the best way to do it, and that's not the way that you have a truly healthy crop. Is, you know, the best way to do it is to have the minerals in place through a soil test and then add your, you know, biology to the soil one way or the other, and then you just let the plants do what they want to do at that point.
I was watching Michael Pollan's The Botany of Desire the other day, and I found it fascinating what he talked about how the lack of biodiversity that we have in our organisms and a result of relying on chemical fertilizers has just made our crops more and more vulnerable to diseases and pests. Can you talk a little bit about some of the natural defenses that some of these plants have that were used and are not so used anymore?
Mm-hmm. It's a big subject, and every plant's different because every plant has pressures from different insects, you know. And but I think what you hear a lot of times, in my experience, is true, is that a healthy plant will be more successful at repelling insect damage, for instance, than a sick plant. In fact, studies have shown that it is the weaker plants that are attacked more quickly by the insects, and that it is actually nature's way of keeping everything in balance and keeping the weak plants from surviving. The strong plants are able to survive and continue, you know, perpetuate their, you know, the species that they're in. And I found that to be true for sure on our farm. And I think that's basically the answer is if you grow healthy crops, then you're going to have much, much more success in terms of the bugs.
Cool.
You know, I have a question about nutrient density in the food. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nutrient density is a term that is being used now to measure the actual quality of the produce and in terms of the amount of nutrients in the produce and the density of it. The higher density would indicate a healthier plant. And yeah, I think it's a great concept. It's something that we really advocate here at Pachamama Farm. And the idea is that you can have two beets. You have one in the left hand, one in the right hand. They both are the exact same size. Well, one's grown maybe with a lot of chemicals and whatnot. The other one's grown by a very skilled organic gardener or farmer. Well, the idea is that you can eat that and that one will be healthier than the other. Now, I'll tell you that when you eat really great produce, like I bet Matt will tell you that he is experiencing eating from our farm every week, you can taste it because our taste buds are well suited to tell good food from bad food. And, you know, we all know that feeling of, you know, biting into a wonderful, you know, green bean or tomato or whatnot. And, nutrient density is really a great concept. There's a movement afoot right now to educate people not only about nutrient density, but to give them the tools necessary to be able to measure nutrient density in their produce. And it involves using a handheld device that's called a refractometer. And Acres USA, there's different people selling them in there in different articles. But what a refractometer is you take something like a tomato, you squeeze the juice out of it, just a drop, and you put it on this lens on the refractometer, and you look through, it's almost like a little kaleidoscope. You look through a little window at the end, and you can see it'll register on a dial, a number like 1 through 20. And what that does is it shows you how much of the light is being refracted through the device. That's why they call it a refractometer, which essentially is showing you the density of the juice, nutrient density. And what they've proven is that the higher the density, then the more minerals are in that food. And there's a chart that comes along with these things. And you can look at this and you can see carrots, for instance, and it'll say, well, low density is maybe 4, average is 7, high is 10, and then exceptional is 12. And you can squeeze out some juice, and you can look on there, and you can see where your produce is coming in. That's if you're growing it or if you're buying it.
That's exciting.
And a refractometer, it is exciting. And a refractometer, you know, it's relatively inexpensive. It's only, I think, maybe $70 or $80. I don't think they even have, no, they don't even have batteries. And you get a little pair of kind of funny little pair of pliers that you use that specially made to squeeze the juice out, because some things it's hard to get the juice, you know, enough juice out. And you can just start doing it. We have one in our wash area where we test test our produce once in a while, and just, you know, and sometimes I'll bring produce from other places that I might pick up at the market, and we'll try different things out and kind of see where we fall. And, you know, it's a lot of fun.
You know, that's really interesting. And I think, I personally, I'm going to go buy one of those.
How much are they, Yule?
70 to 80, he said.
Oh, sweet.
You know, one of the things that I want to talk about in our last segment, unfortunately, our time goes too quickly with you on the show because there's so much to talk about. But I think a lot of people that don't buy organic, they one of the things that I hear is it's just too expensive. So I'd like you to really address that in our final segment and your thoughts on that. And I'm sure you have some great rebuttal to that. So we will be right back. You are listening to Food Integrity Now on Castle Rock Radio.
Every day, thousands of listeners hear this advertisement, just like the way you are now. Wouldn't you rather have your company's message here instead? Start reaching out to a wider audience today. For more info on advertising with Castle Rock Radio, call 888-321-7234.
I'm Carol Gravet, and I'm one of the hosts of Food Integrity Now and a certified life coach. And I'd love to share an amazing adventure with you. Have you ever dreamed of swimming with the wild dolphins? I'm not talking about the ones in captivity at Dolphin Quest. I'm talking about swimming with them in the wild. I invite you to join me for a trip of a lifetime to swim with the dolphins. This all-inclusive trip is really a trip of a lifetime. To find out more, go to wilddolphinswimadventures.com or email Carol at carol@coachwithcarol.com.
Are you a person who is seeking understanding in your life, emotions, relationships, and/or career? Many people are ready for a new level of understanding. Are you? Work with Tammy at Empowerment Through Healing to discover the answers that may be hidden. Tammy is a medium clairvoyant and a life energy low Tai practitioner. Tammy can offer guidance through her work as a medium clairvoyant, working with your spirit guides to offer understanding at current life issues. Find more information and to contact Tammy, go to www.empowermentthroughhealing.com or you may phone her at 719-641-2017.
Welcome back to Food Integrity Now. We are talking with Yule Culberson from Pachamama Organic Farm. And Yule, we left off with, I posed a question to you, which I hear from people who don't buy organic. They go, it's just too expensive. So what do you say about that?
Well, it is more expensive to grow quality food without the use of chemicals. I think that there's some pretty obvious reasons for that that I won't really get into, but just touch on real briefly is the reason that chemicals are used so much in agriculture is because it lowers the cost of production. You can grow more food with less cost, by using the chemical fertilizers, chemical herbicides to kill the weeds, chemical pesticides and whatnot. That people will argue, and I think there's some truth to it, that these costs are not really accurately portrayed at the marketplace because, these products tend to be petroleum-based, and we all know the amount of money that's spent, to protect the petroleum supplies and that kind of thing. But without getting into all that, I guess I would just approach it two ways. I mean, one is you get what you pay for, no matter what. And to me, food is really important. And so to me, it's, buying good food is really worth it. But I think what's really interesting about it, which I would like to talk about right now, is a little bit different angle. And that's really more about what is food. And food, of course, is we all know, is something we put in our mouth and goes through our digestive tract and we need it to live. But I think that there's other kinds of food, too. I think food for me would include anything that we take in, not only through our, we have our taste of our sense of taste, but we also take in food through our ears, through the music we listen to. We take food in through our eyes, through the things that we look at, through the things we watch. And I think that these days, just as there's a lot of food out there that's called food, that has basically no nutritional value whatsoever, such as Diet Coke and that kind of thing, that there's other types of food too. It's interesting to me to go in a traditional grocery store, and it's very difficult for me to find food that I want to eat in a grocery store. It's just a super small percentage of the food, of the stuff they sell there, is what I would consider food for myself. And when I stand in line and I see what's in people's carts, to me it looks like they're all going to to have a picnic on July 4th. And, you know, it's soda pop and hot dogs and all these, you know, processed foods. But I don't think those people are listening to your show, you know, so it doesn't really matter about that. They make the choices they make. But the people that are listening, I would encourage you to really look at your food, you know, the TV shows you watch, the movies you watch, and, you know, and the video games you watch, the books, you know, things you read and whatnot, because that's all food, too, because... You see, I really feel like it's always scratch my head when people say, well, organic's too expensive. And I always scratch my head when I say, wow, isn't it interesting? You never hear that cell phone coverage is too expensive. You never hear that, that movies are too expensive. You never hear that cars are too expensive or, these kinds of things. I think that if people are really honest with how they spend their money, Starbucks, you don't hear Starbucks is too much, too expensive. I think people would really have to admit that they're spending a lot of money on things without really thinking, and that for some reason they think that food should be cheap. And isn't it interesting how so many people have been conditioned to think that something is wrong with food if it's not the cheapest food they can find? And, you know, I read an article in Denver, in the Denver Post, just a couple of days ago. You might have seen it, about fruits and vegetables. And it was an article about how fruits and vegetables are really too expensive, and that people, poor people, can feed themselves for less money by buying processed foods. What's wrong here? You know, this, that, and the other thing. And I'm kind of scratching my head, and I'm like, you know, you're really missing the point here. You know, and it showed these overweight people that, you know, are out of work and on welfare, and they're complaining because they can't buy fruits and vegetables. Well, I'd be willing to bet that they really don't even want to buy fruits and vegetables, because fruits and vegetables don't get you high. Right?
Yeah, and they also don't put your mind in a fog of of just
denial.
Acceptance or denial. It starts to wake you up to have good food. It's amazing to me that there are these two opposing ideas. We hear a lot about how nutrition is so important, and yet at the same time, you know, I was saying this last week on the show, that it seems that at the same time there's this idea also that's being pushed that it's really separate from our health. It really doesn't matter so much what you eat. And that kind of, those ideas I think are at war in our culture, and we can see it.
To me, it's a matter of priorities. Mm-hmm. And I think on our last show, you talked about how the percentage of income that the average American used to spend on their food. Did you talk about that figure?
No, but it used to be higher. And it's higher than just about every,
yeah, it used to be. Somebody we had on the show talked about that, and then it was like 30 years ago, it was 50% of your income went to feed, you know, for your food, and now it's something like less than 10%. So what has taken up that other percentage? Mm-hmm. Cell phones,
just all
electronics,
yeah,
iPads. But, you know, and I'm not making anybody wrong out there. I'm just saying, you know, have our priorities shifted? And is that why we have so much disease and obesity in this country?
Well, I think absolutely. But, you know, I know we're wrapping things up here. I just want to throw out one last thing. We have this program on our farm at Pachamama Farm. It's called Community Supported Agriculture, where people like Matt, who is a member of our farm over here in our community, which is north of Boulder, they pay about $450 for the entire season, and then they get a box of vegetables every week for about 4.5 months. And one of the things we see with people is we see a bunch of things just from the feedback we get from folks. But it's really obvious to us that people do not really know how to prepare healthy food. And, you know, and if you're one of those people listening, you know, don't feel bad. It's, you know, it's not easy to know how to eat well. I think there's a lot of people out there that would like to eat good and even go to stores like, you know, that sell, you know, natural food and whatnot, and they get home and they just don't know how to make something that isn't prepackaged or doesn't have directions on it or whatnot. And, you know, we're constantly having to teach people how to prepare, you know, fruits and vegetables, for instance. And let's face it, most people, especially in this type of environment we live in where we have harsh winters, can't live on fruits and vegetables anyway. You know, during the winter, you got to be eating more substantial types of foods. And, you know, most people are eating grains and meats and different things or beans or whatever they want to, whatever their choice is. But I guess what I would say is if you're somebody that wants to eat better, you know, be easy on yourself and start doing some research. You know, go to these types of stores, get these resources, and just start preparing, you know, some simple things like brown rice, you know, is a healthy food that's easy to make. You know, get yourself some nice-looking vegetables and just steam them up or learn how to stir-fry. I know for us it was about 25 years ago when we started deciding that we wanted to eat well. And, you know, we went through a number of years where we were just learning how to cook things and how to prepare things and what do you eat. It's something that we take for granted, I think, those of us that do eat well. And the fact is, from my experience, that a lot of people just simply do not know how to prepare healthy whole foods.
You know, one rebuttal that I have for the comments that organic is too expensive is I feel like I spend less money because I stop and think before I eat at a restaurant. Not all the time, but some of the time, do I really want to eat there? What type of produce do they have? And so I don't spend the money eating out that I might spend. So I'd rather go to the grocery store and buy some fresh vegetables and cook at home.
That's true, Carol. I often find myself in that same situation. And I just got to say that since I joined the Yule CSA, it's completely changed the way I see vegetables. I never realized I went my whole life without really tasting what celery tasted like or broccoli really tasted like. And once you taste a veggie that was grown in a soil that is as fertile as possible, it's hard to go back and eating the same stuff. And
thanks, man.
Yeah, so it's really an eye-opening experience. It makes you wonder what you've been eating your whole life.
Yeah. Well, Yul, this has been just amazing having you on here. And again, we could talk to you forever because you are a wealth of knowledge. And we really appreciate you being on here and sharing everything you know, the process of organic and such. So thank you for being an amazing guest. I want to let our listeners know that we have on our show next week, Eric Marr. He is a supervisor in San Francisco that was responsible for getting some of the legislation passed in California to get the Happy Meal type marketing to children where you get a toy with your junk food. Now in certain counties in California, If you market to children in any way, your standards have to be so high. You have to have really nutrient-rich food, which I think is amazing. And I think I'm hoping that this type of legislation will happen all over the country. So Eric Marr will be with us next week. And I wanted to let all of our listeners know that foodintegritynow.org, which is our website, we had a little glitch yesterday, and we pretty much our website crashed. So we are rebuilding it, and it's going to come back newer and better. And so if you get on there and there's not much on there, stay tuned. Shortly, it's going to have all kinds of great information, and you can go and you can resubscribe to it if you need to, and or subscribe to it, and you'll get all our shows. So thank you very much for listening. Thank you again, Yul. It's been a wonderful show on Food Integrity Now at Castle Rock Radio. Thank you very much.